Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast, powered by betonline.ag. Week 3 almost completely in the books. We'll recap everything we saw. Special attention being paid to Monday Night Football between the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. Congrats to all the folks still making sure to enter their plays for the Bet the Board 5K football free roll. And Payne, thankfully for us around here, solidarity between you and I never gets called into question.
They only knew.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Eventually, when someone writes the tell-all book, it won't quite be like Mike and the Mad Dog and the ESPN 30 for 30 because we're so far apart most of the year. But, you know, we can sing Kumbaya. We can pretend we love each other for the benefit of
our... It's not Mike and Mike yet. Thankfully.
No, we're not getting there, but they're also not building us a seven-figure studio in Times Square for us to try and put on our show. One thing we won't be doing when it comes to saying Kumbaya, I'm not rolling out the red carpet for Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers after what I saw yesterday against Kansas City.
Is that where we're starting?
We can get there. I mean, I want to give you a chance to gather your thoughts, get it all off your chest. Big show for us today, as always, here on the Bet the Board podcast. Mondays, we'll preview everything we see going forward, some of the look-ahead lines and the market openers from betonline.ag, talk about what we saw yesterday in the National Football League and what we can do going forward. A movie review Monday of Wind River, of course, the aforementioned Monday Night Football preview between the Cowboys and Cardinals. But Payne, you know what, if you don't want to start with the Chargers, I can let you start wherever you want with a laundry list of disappointing performances that we saw from some of these clubs yesterday.
No, we can start there. Just let's put it this way. The game sent me to an early nap. I had to get away from that game.
Not only did it send you an early nap, I think it sent you to a nap after, what, two drives? Maybe not even like halftime or the end of the first quarter. I think I got a text. I've seen enough. I'm taking a nap.
And it really wasn't a nap. It was me just kind of laying down watching other stuff. I couldn't do it. He has got the 3 interceptions in the first half. That leads to 14 points. All 17 on mistakes. The Chargers get a stop, rough the punter. Kicker gets another crack at it. So if we were doing baseball scoring, the first 17 points unearned in the... and this was my mistake with this game all week, and there was hesitation for me all week. Just such a head coaching disparity. And it was just too much to overcome. So when you really start to dig into this, the Chargers itself were so right that you could overcome a high school football coach, horrific quarterback play, and still be within one score for the vast majority. And unfortunately, that's what made it so annoying. Anthony Lynn, like, I'm looking at the number this week. I can't do it, but it's going
to
be...
I was waiting for that to you to try and go back to the well and advocate for a game against the Eagles.
And it's already being talked about, but I can't do it. He is that bad. And it's... When you start to watch this game, I tend not to watch the ball. But when you watch first down and you saw the Kansas City Chiefs defense, they're just shoving like 9 guys in the box, and Anthony Lynn's going to run it literally up the middle every single time. Like, he's got this MO. His brain is still like functioning as if he's in Buffalo with this elite offensive line where you can just run it on first down every single time. And even if the defense is prepared for it, knows it's coming, it was still successful in Buffalo. That's not the case here with this offensive line. So literally, he's putting his team behind the sticks every single time. Kansas City was just living in the backfield. They ran it on first down so much. So that was the bad. And then all of a sudden, you compound that with just an effort from Philip Rivers that was so bad. It didn't matter where he was throwing from. It didn't matter if he was under pressure, if he had a clean pocket. He had a 44 passer rating with a clean pocket this past week. So he was bad. And when we talked about this whole offseason thing about how to be more efficient, what was it? Get Hunter Henry involved, right?
He wasn't anywhere to be seen. He wasn't anywhere to be seen in that game yesterday.
Antonio Gates got his record. Now send the man off to sea. Like, we got to get Hunter Henry involved here. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Like, Phillip Rivers had a 118 passer rating when he threw to Hunter Henry last year. It was in the low 80s when he threw to Gates last year. Hunter Henry had zero targets. Like, how could you have a game plan where Hunter Henry has zero targets?
Do you have his snap count in front of you? I feel like he wasn't even on the
it's
field.
It's not updated yet, but it's the last few weeks, okay. it's 50-50. Like, he finally eclipsed Gates last week. It was like 55% snap count. It's still not good. It's still not enough. And that, I mean, bad coaching. That was the reality of it. And even, you know, I had Andy Reid throw up on himself a little bit once it came to the game management. We've kind of always talked about that. As good as Andy Reid is, as well prepared as he is, once the script wears off a little bit, his game management, you know, isn't the best. So the fake punt, I mean, just stupidity. And you luck out with that a little bit there, and you just can't convert it. And that's the biggest thing. And what's going to make the Chargers unbackable for me moving forward until I can see some cohesion. You had Phillip Rivers almost lose his nuts on Anthony Lynn there in that situation where it was 4th and 9 from like the 34, 35 yard line. And Phillip Rivers is saying, he's literally just motioning to get the punter off the field, and he was keeping his offense out there. And Anthony Lynn had to like kind of step out of the field and say, hey, this is my team. And they punt. And you can see Phillip Rivers walking up and down the sideline talking to like other teammates, other coaches. Effing terrible. Effing terrible. He was irate. And of course, he was right in the situation. He should have been going for that. But the karma gods got him and they landed a punt inside the 5 to make Anthony Lynn look like he was right. But he was in the wrong. It's just very bad coaching.
But yeah, I mean, they had a chance to kick a field goal from just north of 50 yards. They elect a punt, 4th and short with Keenan Allen. You could see him going back and forth with Phillip Rivers. So many things to be disappointed and discouraged by. But like you said, it's one of those games you watch. You just rather would have been blown out instead of flirting in and around chances. Most of the second half largely scoreless until Kareem Hunt busts a big run, 17-10. Just could never get over the hump. But the Chargers weren't only the team that played like a dumpster fire yesterday. You had three other choices. Your beloved Dolphins, I'm not quite sure what that effort was. The Baltimore Ravens, who I'm still not sure actually sent their A-team across the pond to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And all followed up with the Oakland Raiders offensive performance that would have made the Vanderbilt Commodores proud on Sunday Night Football.
Those are all good choices. And we can kind of just gloss over them. But when I start to pick these out and I start to, like, so I started, you know, watching some film stuff this morning and started digging into things this morning before we started recording. And one thing that I like to do is not find the teams that are in horrific spots that we know are in horrific spots that we're fading and then suddenly act surprised when they don't show up. So when you talk about the Ravens, right? Look at what they did to prepare for that week. They literally showed up late. They didn't even have a walkthrough. The first time at the stadium was on game day, before the game. You might as well just took a fine, stayed back in Baltimore, not risked injury. Like, literally just not shown up. There was no point to going across the pond in doing what you did. And I know a lot of people on Twitter, you know, a little softer, gentler Twitter these days, were just outraged that in a 37-0 blowout, you showed no class and didn't, you know, ran the fake punt if you're Jacksonville. Get the out of here. You got to be kidding me. This team shows no respect.
You drive that stake through their heart. I mean, if you don't show up, you drive that stake through their heart. I had no problem.
This team shows no respect and doesn't prepare for you, doesn't care to show up. And you're trying to change the culture within your regime. I'm going for the fake punt too. Prepare next time. I mean, they just didn't care. They didn't care to be there. So like one of those spots, it's tough to like, I don't want to overreact. Clearly there's some issues there. They were without a defensive tackle that didn't travel. You're without Marshall Yanda and, you know, you got beat up in the trenches a little bit, but it takes effort to win the trench battle. And so there was no effort from the onset there. So I don't, you know, it is what it is there. The Dolphins, I think we'll talk about them in greater detail, but you know, they won a game in week one that they probably weren't supposed to. Ridiculous travel. I don't take a ton from that there. They're an average to below average club. And it's kind of what it is. When you talk about the Raiders, again, it was another spot that books made out very well. We discussed it on the podcast last week, traveling to a different time zone for the second time in 3 weeks, staring at Denver next week. They had 95 total yards until they started, like the last possession of the game where they just added a bunch of junk. 95 total yards. So they just didn't show up.
Yep, not a good look by any stretch. Okay, so by that token then, was there a team that's performance in the negative direction that really surprised you that you expected more from during week 3?
I think there's two. Seattle's defense.
Pathetic.
Bad. And so that can't be the case when you have offensive line issues. And shockingly, it was the inverse. The offensive line wasn't great, but the offense certainly put up enough points. Over the course of time, if you say, hey, this Seattle offense is going to hang 27, they're going to win a ton of ball games. But that Seattle defense had two pressures the entire game. Two pressures. That was it. No sacks, no quarterback hits. They literally did not touch Mariota one time when he dropped back on 32 dropbacks.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, it's important that you mention that when he dropped back, because Richard Sherman did a good job of touching Mariota when he wasn't supposed to. So he did get a little pressure on the quarterback, just an ill-timed decision.
32 dropbacks, not pressured, you know. Two pressures. That was it. Not touched once. And you know, the Seahawks, when you started to look at this game on the tape, they were just pushed around in the trenches. You went and got Sheldon Richardson. That hasn't seemed to improve things. And you go back just to last week, and the 49ers pushed them around a little bit. Hyde got going. So that's a serious question mark there. The other one, and while I liked the Saints side, there wasn't anything crazy that was this massive travel spot or a massive situation. There's serious concern there with Cam Newton, I think. That was disappointing to me. When I was starting to look at this, he had 21 first half yards on 6 for 10. And I don't know if that was a team that we thought would turn it around pretty quickly. That was kind of that buy low stock team this year. A lot of sharp guys were talking about. But he's never been this crazy precision passer. He always had a good deep ball. And so he was also a runner. And now with the shoulder, he's not really running. So he doesn't have that advantage of that extra man in the box when he becomes a runner. So he's not doing running. He doesn't have the deep threat. The shoulder isn't 100%. Ted Ginn leaves in free agency. Kelvin Benjamin went down this week. This team's a mess offensively. Doesn't have his little, you know, his weapon over the middle in Greg Olsen. Like, there is some serious issues here. And it's not just from the eyeball perspective, right? You start to break down a lot of these issues, like the metrics, they dive deep and divulge an entirely different picture of what this team truly is. You lose your defensive coordinator to Buffalo. This team's not very good.
Oh, and it's the first time that they'd faced a real formidable offense. We saw the Saints go out there with a surgical opening drive and were able to play downhill for the remainder of the game. Drew Brees spreading the ball around plenty in that particular performance. I do want to get one rant, though. There was one particular play. Now, we were able to get to the window with that ticket and side. What do we think of the way that the Bears finished the first half?
Ooh. You're setting me up here.
I mean, I want to open the floor up to you. People love a little bit of fire, energy, and emotion and a pain rant to start.
There's really no rant. It was just pure stupidity. You can't really put that into words. It was visual. It was there.
What do you do? If you're a coach, you'll put yourself in John Fox's spot. Like, you're watching film today, or you're with the team, or you have your first day of practice. Like, what are you saying to these idiots? Like, is it that difficult to go an extra 3 yards that you have to start showboating and walking when you're 1 yard away from the end zone? It drives me absolutely fucking bald.
Maybe just a little glance backwards if you are going to choose to go that route. And we see it a lot. Like, Giovanni Bernard's touchdown.
I don't understand it. Yeah, and
you had Diggs doing something similar as well. I mean, I don't know what it is. And the announcer was like, oh, you know, he was thinking about how he was going to celebrate. Let's think about it once you cross the goal line, huh?
I just don't understand it. And like you said, it happens all the time. But all right, are our blood pressures getting going enough from the things that we saw?
That rant would have led in a different direction. So,
I know. I would have gone in some other places, but we're not that kind of podcast. So I'm not letting it get there, despite the fact that you might want to take it off the rails. So. We'll cut it off at the pass is the best terminology I can use. All right, things that surprised you from the good, whether it was the Skins domination, the Buffalo Bills putting together a complete effort despite getting outgained on the stat sheet, the Rams offense on Thursday night, maybe the Jets performance to get them off the schneid. What really jumped off the page for you in the positive?
So I want to touch on one of those teams you mentioned, and it's not going to be anything crazy, but what I have noticed is I've heard a lot of people say, hey, you know, the Bills aren't in love with Tyrod Taylor. We knew the issue with the contract. Were they going to bench him? Were they going to play him so he couldn't reach that bonus? You know, all this different stuff. There's talks about potentially tanking. Through 3 weeks, every game that I have seen, this team is playing harder than anybody else. And McDermott, he's got a good defense here. It's a lot of effort, and he's kind of molded this secondary. White looks like a fantastic draft pick from LSU. He picked up a guy, Poyer, out of Cleveland. He was just like thrown on the scrap heap. He's playing pretty well so far. So what I have seen so far from Buffalo is you're not really going to get a free pass under McDermott. He's really came on from the onset, setting the culture. And then now it's just about acquiring talent and getting his guys in there. But they're playing harder than anybody else. And that's the reason they won this past weekend. When I started to dig a little bit more, I was impressed with the Vikings. And specifically, Case Keenum. And when I started, I sent you a note when I was looking at this. Case Keenum, apparently the Buccaneer killer.
He owns the Bucs. Owns the Bucs.
He's now beaten them three times in the last three seasons. He was a member of the Rams the last two when he did that. But Brent Grimes was sorely missed. And 25 of 33 for 369, 11.2 yards per pass attempt. And they couldn't get any pressure on him. So when they tried to manufacture it, he was even better. 9 of 11, passer rating of 110 when pressured. So that was really the most important, impressive. That's such a big win, right? You start off with a huge win on Monday Night Football. Bradford goes down. You're in a tough spot in a short week traveling to Pittsburgh. And this season could really turn when you're talking about Case Keenum. You're back home. It's either 1-2 or 2-1. And that's just a huge swing game. So that, to me, was a really impressive performance. And I think the other one, the inverse of the Panthers, is the Saints. And I am just so pissed not being on that, because that was the first game I looked at when we talked this week. I said, man, 6 is a heavy number here. Public was gravitating towards it. And this was bad. The injury is what kept me off. That's what ultimately left me on the sideline when both left and right tackles are out for New Orleans. And I will say this, I looked early on, they had to replace Armstead, Streif, whoever those guys were, they filled in admirably, because Breeze was pressured just 4 times on 29 dropbacks. And then because they couldn't get pressure naturally, they had to manufacture it. And so when they were forced to blitz Breeze, one, that's not something you want to get used to doing. But on the 10 times he was blitzed, he had a 149 passer rating. So those two tackles did a fantastic job.
Dolphins and Saints, a lovely London game for the second straight week. The New Orleans Saints, a 2.5-point favorite at betonline.ag. Total here, 49.5. Look-ahead number here had the Dolphins pegged as a 1-point favorite. I mean, you've said it, Payne, since the season started, that the Dolphins were average at best to a below-average football team. Were they just looking ahead to this particular trip? Or, you know, how do we begin to handicap this matchup with the Saints coming in off a win and the Dolphins coming in off a doormat performance?
Man. When I started to watch this game, I knew it was trouble. They had 2 first downs in the first half. They didn't make their first third down conversion until the 14-minute mark in the fourth quarter. 3.6 yards per play, and their defense was on the field for an eternity. This was partly situation here. You know, we were on this kind of before anybody. Many of the coaches and players got out of Dodge before Hurricane Irma on that Wednesday. And then the final batch of players that had left to other locations then joined them by that Sunday. So you had like 7 to 10 days of basically another training camp at Oxnard before the Chargers game. Then you come back home from California. You get to your Miami home. You kind of see the aftermath. What damage was there? What needs to be fixed? And in your mind, like, okay, not only am I preparing for the Jets, but they're saying, hey, as soon as we leave New York, we're going straight over to London. So you're now packing your bags for a game that's 2 weeks away. There's just so much going on. This was just a horrible spot. In addition to the bad offense, what I have been looking at is their defense. And they're just allowing way too much
of everything
to happen in front. The secondary is playing so far off. It's just allowing these teams to be super efficient, super successful passing the ball. And I don't know if it's Matt Burke, the new coach. One thing we know, Vance Joseph is a fantastic defensive mind, and he is specific to be, well, this is crazy, but Vance Joseph was a quarterback at Colorado, and then he turned into a cornerbacks coach. So he really has a knack for that position because he knows what the quarterback wants to do being one, but he also, as you know, a defensive backs coach for so long, he just knows everything. So he got so much out of lesser talent, and Matt Burke isn't able to do that right now. And it seems like he's alienating some of those guys back there, specifically Maxwell, who had a huge bounce back season a year ago. But right now, the Dolphins are allowing 58% of passes to grade successful. That's 30th in the NFL. Drew Brees is probably going to have a pretty good time against that secondary. And when I start to break this down just a little bit, not to get too far ahead, both teams offensively are going to have an advantage there. Right now, it doesn't look like the Saints can stop the run. So if you can get Ajayi going, both offenses have a nice little edge in that game.
And you figure Ajayi poised for a bounce-back performance, 11 carries in the loss against the Jets. Very robust, 16 yards. The Dolphins is a team, 15 carries, 30 yards. I have to imagine they're going to make a much more committed effort to the ground game to keep that Saints offense on the sidelines.
That's what everyone's going to do this year is key on Ajayi because not many people believe in Cutler. And I will tell you this, you had a decent Jay Cutler against the Chargers, and then you got bad Jay Cutler this week. And I mean, it was bad, bad. He was throwing knuckleballs right and left. He wasn't putting balls in good spots. He couldn't even hit the screen pass early on in that game. It was bad. And you'll get that last possession of junk to kind of distort some of those numbers, but he was very bad.
Well, you talk about bad, no better place to go than the battle for bragging rights in Ohio, where the Browns take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Current number here at betonline.ag has Cincinnati installed as a 3-point favorite, lay $1.15. Total on the game, 40. But interestingly enough, Payne, a look ahead number here had the Bengals only a 1.5-point chalk. Did that much change this week that we're talking about a key number all of a sudden coming into play with two teams both staring down the barrel of an 0-4 start?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
This is bad. I wrote down 2.5, but you're probably right there. I'm probably way off. I think the Bengals obviously looked impressive. When you get out 21-7 at Lambeau, people probably think you've written the ship a little bit. The Browns, in a spot where you could potentially get a win, found themselves down 3 scores. I know they closed the gap late, but that's partly it. The Browns are the Browns. The Bengals, people think, probably got back on the right foot. I will say this. The Bengals really let an opportunity slip by the wayside there. Everyone else lost in the AFC North. I know it wasn't a division game, but a win goes such a long ways there. And the reason that game went from 10 to 6.5 is they invested so much emotionally. Team meetings, player meetings. Marvin Lewis stands up in front of the room, literally calling for a rally and telling players they were the ones that got Zampezi fired. And if you don't get your shit together, look around. You or someone else ain't going to be in this room very long.
Wait, when Lewis said that, was he referring to himself?
It's possible, although they have an owner that, you know, doesn't really care about spending money or winning. So that's why he's been around this long. So it was an all-in effort this past week, and you get nipped at the wire. So it'll be interesting to see if they can rebound.
And the Browns, like you said, still the Browns. So a game that we probably won't pay extra attention to on Thursday. You got your steady dose of 2-0-3 football teams locking horns there. Ravens and Steelers, a game that we normally see decide AFC North supremacy. We've seen the market shift a decent amount here as well, Payne. The Steelers now a 2.5-point favorite at betonline.ag. Lay $1.15 there, trending towards 3. Total on this game, 45. I mean, we talked about, you know, both teams and their performances during week 3. I mean, was the Ravens' performance that much worse in the eyes of odds makers? And that's why you've seen this number go from a pick-em on a look-ahead line out to 2.5.
I would think so, and partly because it was that standalone game. That's the biggest thing there. You are dealing with a couple injuries, but it was the standalone game. Everybody saw it, and they just get boat raced, and now you have a Pittsburgh Steelers team. I know they lost, but they're a little bit more of a public team, and so that's what we've seen. It was a great spot for the Bears with Pittsburgh 2-0 and the Ravens on deck. And now you were traveling on the road where we know Big Ben regresses tremendously and they're facing a non-conference opponent. Human nature there likely won't have your peak focus. And then they decided to take their lack of game focus to another level with whatever they did before the game. And that kind of all translated to a fantastic spot for the Bears. Clearly they were focused on this game here. But when you start to look at what they are on the road, when you start to look at what Baltimore is at home, this is going to be a good game. Now, I will say this. This total at 45, intriguing just a little bit. But we'll see where that first half opens.
What? You mean when it opens Sunday morning about an hour before kickoff or so?
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting so brutal right now. And then there's, you know, one specific idiot who's not clued in on first half unders, and he's going like on Mondays and Tuesdays with full game unders.
God,
and just distorting the entire market.
I hope he listens to this podcast.
He probably does. So, I mean, we've seen this kind of time and time again. Big Ben at this point has been insanely average. He's been below average on the road. When you look at all the success rate metrics, when you look at some of the most important efficiency metrics, this team right now really needs to get going, and it really requires Big Ben to get going, because I like what the defense is doing when they care, when they're not looking ahead, when they're not, you know, dealing with other stuff non-football related. This could be a very good football team if Big Ben gets going.
And,
a team that really is – they could win the Super Bowl, but it comes down to Big Ben.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl with Mike Tomlin as their head coach. Talent-wise, they're probably right there, but it is interesting. Scott had a note before the season, and we talked about this, that said, hey, the Steelers' defense is light years ahead of where the offense is. It's going to take the offense some time to get in gear, and that's exactly what you've seen through 3 weeks. I believe the Steelers now 3-0 to the under, given some of those sluggish starts. Big Ben on the road, as you mentioned. Again, we'll probably spend extra detail on come the Thursday podcast. Giants on the road, paying for the second straight week to take on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa, a 3.5-point favorite at betonline.ag. No total currently posted on this particular game. You have seen this come down considerably from a look-ahead number that had the Bucks a 6-point home chalk.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So there isn't a total open. So there is a total other places, correct?
There is a total at other locations. I'm seeing
43.5.
Yeah, 43.5, 44.
Well, you know, a lot of injuries on that Buccaneers defense.
All right, Quan
Alexander was out this past week. Chris Baker was out. Brent Grimes was a late scratch. Levante David, high ankle sprain this week. Noah Spence left with an injury. Gerald McCoy, he is going to grit it out. He's playing banged up. The question becomes, is that Giants offense going to turn it around a little bit? You know, they had one touchdown in their first 29 possessions this season, and then they got into the end zone, you know, three straight times in the fourth quarter. Some of it was turnover induced. Some of it was, I mean, Eli Manning's not very good. It's just, he probably doesn't have those two touchdown passes if he's throwing to any other human being in the NFL.
There's no doubt that Odell is one of maybe two or three receivers tops that are able to haul in those two touchdowns.
So, you know, I don't know what the Giants are right now. They're bad. Defensively, they seem to have regressed a little bit, although they were pretty good at one point through the vast majority of that. And I wanted to check. I didn't run in all the fourth quarter numbers there, but I was watching it and they made note, like, Philadelphia didn't have an offensive play. And this was at, I think, like the 7-minute mark of the fourth quarter. They didn't have an offensive play greater than 13 yards. So the defense came around. Jenkins is huge for that defense. He's not only one of the best cornerbacks in football, but it allows him to do so much more. Goodson missed this past week. You're going to have to monitor that again. If he's out, they can't really cover any tight ends. So that's kind of where we're at with that one.
Keep tabs there. And then the Monday night game, you've seen a correction in the market as well. Both Kansas City and Washington coming in on highs. Right now, the Chiefs, a 6.5-point favorite at betonline.ag. No total here either. Look-ahead number had this over a touchdown. I mean, the Chiefs were a team that we both thought we'd be selling early on in the season. They've clearly have disappointed us in that regard. But is this a good opportunity to go against the Redskins that look like world beaters in front of a national audience?
I have no idea. I am not really doing much with this game right now, but it appears the market's going a little bit. I don't think I can fade Kansas City again. I'm not sure I can do it.
We just keep doing it every week, I feel like.
This has become that team, the thorn in the side. So I don't have a ton here. Obviously, when you're looking at this game, Washington, I said, you got to establish the ground game, and they went out and did it this past week, and obviously, aside from horrific Oakland offense, Washington was able to create the tempo of the game that they wanted to play. Getting that ground game going with P. Ryan and a lot of Thompson, that's going to be the key for them. If Gruden cannot lose his mind and stay balanced, the offense is going to have a shot.
Chris Thompson was outstanding for the second straight week, really providing them a nice little game breaker as they look to try and develop chemistry in the vertical passing game, which doesn't appear to be there. Should be a good fun watch, at least for Monday Night Football, when you consider some of the clunkers that we have on the back half of the schedule. Fortunately, we don't have a clunker tonight with the Cowboys taking on the Cardinals, but we will get there shortly. First movie review Monday of the football season, Payne, and I actually thought you made a pretty good choice there with Wind River that we went to see this past week.
I made a pretty good choice.
Yeah, I mean, you...
You sound surprised when it comes to movies.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Well, I mean, I was going to try and push for like a horror movie or something like that.
That's much better, by the way. I can hear you. Whatever you just did, I can hear you much better now.
I mean, I threw my headset on the ground. I wanted to feel like an NFL head coach. Wind River, Jeremy Renner, I can't remember. What's the actress's name? Elizabeth Olsen, I think.
Olsen, yep.
I thought the movie was outstanding. Not exactly a feel-good story.
Liked it.
I did. I liked it.
I'm a little surprised.
I liked the movie quite a bit. I thought it was a good storyline, a little bit heavy, though. So if you're not in the right mindset, probably don't want to commit 2 hours to it.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
mindset might took us. Oh. It was a good movie. Go see it. If you have 2 hours,
yeah,
go see the movie. I'm surprised you liked it because you got out of the movie and you're like, just got done watching it. I said, nice. And I didn't get much past that, whether you liked it or not. Usually,
I was trying to process everything that I'd seen. Like I said, it was thought-provoking and pretty heavy in terms of a plot line.
Okay. I will say this. The guy who wrote it, Taylor Sheridan, I was looking at this. Apparently, it's the first time he ever directed a movie.
Not a bad debut.
Not a bad debut, but I will say this. He wrote the screenplays for Sicario and a movie we reviewed last year, Hell or High Water. If you haven't seen Hell or High Water, you're going to want to do that. And then you're going to want to go see Wind River. So I would say that same feel as Hell or High Water, despite a little different setting.
Yeah, a lot of it. I mean, I think when you see his movies and stuff that he's been involved with, it has some of those deeper, darker undertones, more of a reflection of society as a whole than anything else. And you have to try and put some of the characters in perspective. But every character afflicted with a very different situation, I guess, much like Hell or High Water.
I was joking around with you. When I was trying to get out of Dodge for the hurricane, one of the only spots that I could get out to was Wyoming. And after seeing that, I'm thankful I chose to pass.
Well, I don't think you were going to go to Wind River, Wyoming. I'd imagine that you'd spend time in Cheyenne or Laramie. An interesting state. I figure somewhere along the way, Payne, I mean, bet the board needs an estate in Jackson Hole, so we can set that up for a company retreat. So after you purchase your private jet, maybe you can get a company outing out there in Jackson Hole.
There was a lot of missed money this weekend. No private jet in the future. Yeah, this was... Oh, I was miserable yesterday. And we won overall.
Yeah, but you're...
There was so much money left on the table.
You're usually miserable on Sundays, though.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of what I see on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So even if
we
have...
When it comes to like coaching decisions and stuff, usually it's always profitable, and it was profitable again. But when you see... What is underdogs go 12-3, 8-1 straight up? You're like, man, where was I on a lot of those?
I have to imagine come Thursday when we talk to Dave Mason about the week that was for the sports books in the NFL, he may be bouncing off the walls if I can anticipate some of what the house was able to do. Let's put it that way.
A spirited interview you're predicting before The Price is Right?
Yep. Well, that's exactly. As long as we get the show recorded before Dave watches The Price is Right, we'll be in good shape. I don't need him trying to figure out which Colombian model he might be after when we try and record a podcast. So this week, movie options. I mean, I did a quick scan. There's, of course...
That scares me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't make a selection. I did a quick scan. It, the Stephen King thriller, Strong...
You want the review to that already?
I mean, sure, I guess.
Put an S and an H in front of the title.
Here we go. Stronger, Jake Gyllenhaal plays a survivor of the Boston Marathon bombing. Mother, the movie with, what is it, Javier Bardem, that looked a little bit darker. And then American...
So I'm going to give you... I'm looking at your choices here. I'm going to give you two options.
All right, go ahead. Give us two options. You know what? Because you did so well last week with Wind River, you get to pick again this week.
I think we either go American Assassin or Stronger.
Okay.
And then there's one not on this list. Did you see the Kingsman movie, the initial one?
I did not see the initial one. Okay. Well, I have to
see. So we'll save that one for later.
Well, do I have to see the initial one to see this sequel?
Because I haven't seen the second one to know. But
that's a good point.
My feeling is
nice, smart question, Todd. Well,
since it's a sequel, you may have to.
You never know. I mean, I saw the Jack Reacher nonsense that we saw last year. Didn't have to see that. I will say that Tom Cruise's new movie probably going to catapult to the top of our list for next week.
For sure.
Okay. I mean, I figure every now and again, we're usually in unanimous agreement that when certain movies come out, those are the ones we're going to go after. So we'll let you guys know if you want to follow along what movie we'll be checking out. And lastly, Payne, before we get the big game breakdown, we did have a winner for week two. We weren't able to announce on Thursday as you did the random draw on the Bet the Board Twitter account. Do you want to share that name?
I believe it's Phil the Lip. You caught me off guard there. Phil the Lip is the winner. If you go to Bet the Board Pod on Twitter, there's about a 2-minute video that we shot. It came down to a fourth tiebreaker, which was pretty wild. So they both went 5-0 for week two. They both had, they were both a point off in the tiebreaker number with Detroit and the Giants. I believe that ended 24-10. Yep. So that was at 34. One guy at 35, one guy at 33. They both had 7 wins apiece for the season through 2 weeks. So that went out the window. So we went to our fourth and final tiebreaker, which required me to do whatever it was I did.
Not quite sure. I to be honest, full disclosure, I haven't watched the video yet. I trust your...
I'm not buying it.
I trust your...
I'm not buying it. You watched that thing multiple times.
I did not. I trust
you. You gave it a favorite.
I give a lot of... things a favorite. I mean, we have our social media guru that hands that stuff out, and I'm a little bit critical of some of the content that gets put out, so I just favored it. You know, I want to make the kid feel good.
If I put you in a lie detector test, you're failing that one.
No, I did not watch the video.
Not only did you see it, you watched it.
I did favorite it. I did not watch the video. I will say one thing. I believe it was Bob Francis who tweeted at us. I'm a little disappointed that 60% is not going to win the contest. Well, Bob, hopefully we've created a smarter, more sophisticated gambler. We really expect whoever wins a season-long prize to be at about 70% if we can.
Yeah. Just as long as you didn't take the Chargers this week, you're probably pretty good.
Oh, I'm just glad I don't have to pay double for backing the Chargers. Let's put it that way. But all right, big game breakdown. And again, we're thrilled to have the American Gaming Association on board as a sponsor for this particular segment here at Bet the Board as part of their initiative, the American Sports Betting Coalition. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans are in favor of ending the federal sports betting ban, and 72% of avid sports fans feel the exact same way. Additionally, nearly 2 in 3 Americans believe regulated sports betting would allow local economies to benefit from additional tax revenue and job creation. The ASBC aims to educate, advocate, empower, and deliver. For more information, go to sportsbettingamerica.com. And Payne, tonight, the Dallas Cowboys, a 2.5-point favorite at betonline.ag, lay $1.20. Total on this game has been bet up since we jumped on the podcast from 46.5 to 47. Dallas off a disappointing performance last week against Denver, but Arizona dealing with a myriad of injuries.
Where would you like me to start with that?
I
would agree. I would concur. The Cowboys didn't look very good last week, and Arizona is injured.
The floor is yours. Okay. I mean, I figure you're going to expound, elaborate, and try and build on me setting the pace and tone for you.
So let me just kind of, you know, put the cat out of the bag here. Professional money is on Arizona, and I kind of want to...
Everyone just turned off the podcast now, by the way.
Yeah, I just want to kind of hit on this. One thing with this podcast, and it's why so many listen, is because we're able to help you with your picks, potentially get you over the edge on one of your leans, potentially take you off a game you were leaning because you didn't factor something in. We're going to give out games that, you know, we believe in that we actually bet ourselves. There's plenty of guys out there giving you stuff that they're not actually betting. That is never going to be what we do here. And I know a lot of people were disappointed we didn't give out a Thursday night pick. And what ends up happening? The game falls 2. It was 2.5 when we were on the podcast. If you guys want to flip coins and wait for it to come down after 3 hours, that's you. That ain't ever going to be me. So I will say this. If you like Arizona, that is the absolute professional side. For me, though, because of those injuries, I am not going to be on this game. I started to look into this a little bit. David Johnson, his usage rate, it is just ridiculous. When you start to take out certain spans and certain stretches throughout the course of last season and early on this season, he had a usage rate above 50%. There were games last year we had 32 touches on like 59 offensive snaps. I mean, he's irreplaceable. He is the most valuable running back by far. A season ago, he had 1,000 scrimmage yards in the first 7 games. So when you have an old quarterback that is struggling, who is he now going to rely on? Chris Johnson, who they brought back off the street? I don't know. And you start to look at a lot of those other weapons. John Brown is out. J.J. Nelson, he is a game-time decision with a hamstring. Jermaine Gresham, dealing with some rib stuff that's semi-serious, but he's going to try to give it a go. I have no idea if he does. You're missing one of your starting tackles. You're missing one of your potentially best guards. I mean, Arizona is completely banged up on offense. And the only factor here that might present an advantage is you're playing Dallas's defense, which is extremely banged up in the secondary as well and just isn't very good. So maybe there's some offensive production there, but there's just way too many guys banged up on that Cardinals offense.
And when we look at Dallas, you mentioned, I mean, how banged up their secondary is. Do we expect this offense to actually look like a shade of its former self, unlike the anemic performance we saw last weekend against Denver?
Listen, I'm not, you know, Zeke's mind is potentially somewhere else. You lose an offensive lineman to Denver in free agency. Another lineman retires. So that offensive line that we thought was so elite, and I said this in a preview podcast, they were absolutely elite. One of the best in all of football. But what does it look like, even if it's a tiny drop? When you go from being head and shoulders above everybody else or right up there with Oakland, let's just say you regress to like the 7th best offensive line. That is significant with how you want to play football. If you can't run and keep your defense off the field, that is a huge problem. And so, like, you know, we kind of got to pump the brakes on Dak a little bit, all right? I know everyone was enamored with him. You know, let's send Tony Romo into the booth. And fortunately, he's fantastic. But Dak's got some issues. And right now, he's not playing fantastic football when he's forced to be the man. And when you talk about offensively, Dez Bryant, very good. But there's not a lot of explosive weapons on that offense. And so that's been part of the issue. Dak is regressed a little bit. Dak's probably not that dude you think he is. And the offensive line's missing two guys, and there's really not much explosive offensive weapons for that Dallas team.
Should be an interesting game to figure out where both of these teams are at. As you mentioned, professional money that's been very real has come in on the dog. Not enough to get the two of us to the window, take the lumps from the Chargers, and move forward. Of course, plenty of college and pro football action on the docket. Any other parting shots, Mr. Payne, before we close up shop here this fine Monday morning?
I'm just hoping this podcast can go out because I don't know what's going on. Like, the landscapers have been here for about 9 hours so far. They're, you know, they're picking up stuff from the hurricane still, and there is just junk everywhere, trees down. So I think that's going on, but hopefully not everyone hears this.
I haven't heard a single thing on my end, so that may be.
Oh, it's good. It's a positive. So. Other than that, I mean, I'm going to just watch this game. That's about it. There's really not much here. We'll be back Thursday. Hopefully we will have something on Thursday. That should be the goal. Dig in, give out a best bet, get back on track. 1-1 last week. Won our college best bet. Chargers let us down. And, you know, we just keep moving on. That's it. Long term.
It's always one of those things. You set such a high standard for yourself. 1-1 feels like you're 0-10.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what we kind of talked about that a little bit. No one wants to hear this, but it was a profitable week, and I was miserable yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're miserable a lot of the time.
No, so. don't go there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different story for a different.
I'm the happiest guy in the world.
Here we go. Here
I am. I just deal with a bunch of, you know, Todd Furman's all day. It gets exhausting.
You should feel so fortunate that you get to deal with me 4 to 5 times a week during football season. All right, you should
count. Our listeners only knew.
Should count your lucky stars, my friend. Count your lucky stars. As always, you can follow Payne on Twitter at Payne Insider for more snarky cynicism about all things football or otherwise. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Todd Furman. Of course, the podcast Bet the Board Pod. Again, make sure you get those contest picks early. They'll be up and available for you Wednesday. The College Football Podcast back with you then. NFL on Thursday with Dave Mason. To gloat about how much money the sportsbooks made this past weekend. Hopefully you guys did the same. Should you elect to bet the Monday Night Football game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals, we wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.